evermore. For my Lord says, come, and I see my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated and open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Proverbs and chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31.
Pastor, would it be all right to open the back door here a little bit? Or?
Sure. Why, what's that?
I think people are getting hot or something.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. We'll praise the Lord. We can open. Just go ahead and latch that open there, Zach. That'll be good. We could turn that fan on, too. Would that help? Or hurt? No, it's on. They got to pull strings. In fact, we got 40-mile-an-hour winds coming. I could go ahead and pop the back door open. And you have to hold on to your papers. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31 we're in. Praise the Lord. What are we doing in Proverbs 31? What do you think this is, like Mother's Day or something? That's where we usually preach our Mother's Day messages. If you missed that, and I probably will again this year. But again, this year we want to look at some things given instruction in the book of Proverbs and chapter 31. And so let's go ahead and kick off our message there. Appreciate again that we can look into God's Word. Appreciate again the week we had. Y'all missed this conference, but it's good to be up at Auburn Freedom Baptist and to hear the evangelist up there especially and the preachers preach. They did say this thing that I gave a hearty hallelujah to was, and probably we don't repeat this enough, that reading your Bible out loud again is a key to our Christian growth. Praying out loud is a key to our Christian growth. You've heard it said, you've got wall plaques that say it, the family that prays together stays together. And that praying together means, again, where we get together and pray all around and everyone prays out loud. It's amazing, again, the difference that makes in our lives, our homes, and in our communications. It's amazing, again, when children hear their parents pray for them out loud each school day, especially through their lives. And so, again, I just want to reiterate some of that and rehearse it again with y'all, that it's important to read your Bible and to read it out loud. When you read your Bible out loud, you hear your Bible again. Either that or Alexander Scorby can do it for you. But again, to be able to open the ear gate. And then I had mentioned further that if you write things down, last week again I gave you a homework assignment to write down John 8, 31 and 32, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 21, 22. And again, to be a fan of writing things down. And it's good for us. And so I just want to again give that emphasis. Even here as we're looking at this lesson, we're going to have an importance on those two verses we assigned, or two sections of Scripture that we looked at last week. As we're talking about vice grips again in our Sunday messages here in March, let's go ahead and look at Proverbs chapter 31. Get some words from King Lemuel, if you'd follow along in your Bible as I read. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. The book of Proverbs and chapter 31. The Bible says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let them drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for Solomon, his book of wisdom, and thank you for the verses we have before us here this morning. I pray again that they divide the thoughts and intents of our hearts. I pray again, Father, that you'd search us, and Father, use your words again to cause that our walk and our attitude and our life could be right in your eyes in such a way, Father, that you'd pour out your blessing as we'd walk a heart after you. We'll praise you now and thank you for touching these words and touching this preacher and touching again each listener, Father, that your words would not return void, but again would have an effect on our life, our walk, our love for you. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ we pray it. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated as we meet here today. Again, I've got a whole series of messages that I had put together. I have taken a bunch of the Reformers' Unanimous booklets and converted them over back before they were all copyright. When they first come out with them, again, they freely let that material out, and it was some tremendous material, still is. But again, the Reformers' Unanimous was, again, the fact that all of us unanimously need to be reformed. And again, it uses those key verses that we gave in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. If the truth shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And the response there to that was, we're not served. We're not. We are free. We're not, the Pharisees said, we're not bound. And Jesus went on to say, you're in bondage to Satan. And so we've looked at five vices last week, and I want to bring them up again. So that we could remember them, WWWDG, and get them embedded in our minds so we won't soon forget that it's wine, women, and weed. We dealt with weed last week pretty extensively. And then drugs and gambling. Today we want to look at those first two W's and from the words of King Lemuel here. And remember, a vice, as we described it, is, again, a holding device with two jaws that grabs onto Christians, as it were, and holds them onto Satan's workbench. And so we put that out in the penny pulpit, and I trust, again, that was an encouragement as we look at the fact that, and then this song that we sang this morning, again, came out of that as well. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. And so we're looking at that kind of idea, and again, the idea that here that there's other things that Satan has to hold us onto his workbench, and we need to be free of. Let's look at King Lemuel again in chapter 31 of this text. I love these two chapters that Solomon closes out. Book of Solomon, again, is a book of wisdom written by Solomon, again, as he covers advice from every area of life. And it's curious that he's given these last two chapters. We know, again, that King Zedekiah, I don't think that was the right king, Hezekiah pulled out a bunch of the Proverbs and put them together. And I don't know, but what he collected or Solomon collected these two as his closing. But King Lemuel, we know nothing about no King Lemuel. We don't know whether he was a king. I suspect it's a pen name for Solomon. Solomon, the name means peace. Shalom, it rhymes with peace. And so Solomon means peace. And here, this Lemuel name is a play on Hebrew's word, which says Lemuel is writing for God. And so the word means for God. And so I think, again, this is a close of Proverbs, of Solomon's wisdom literature, and Lemuel is a pen name that he's used again to communicate these things. Notice what it says, the words of King Lemuel. Before we look at that, jump back one chapter and look at my favorite proverb again, the words of Agar, chapter 30. The son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Uchel. We don't know who King Lemuel is, but we don't know what any of those people, again, that wrote, again, the previous chapter. But I love that previous chapter, and I love the riddle that he starts out with. Again, so it would be worth your time to study a little bit the words of Agar there in the previous chapter. But here, notice this is kind of a capstone of all the Proverbs of Solomon and probably of Agar here as we're looking at chapter 31. And notice how it begins, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And again, we teach this on Mother's Day because, again, that has a whole bunch of things that mothers ought to be teaching their children. And one of them is prophecy. There's a verse in Colossians, I think it is, closing the book, that says, despise not prophesying. Prophecy, again, is not someone telling the future. Prophecy in your Bible is someone standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. And so again, we could do that today if you have a copy of this book with you again. You could stand on the corner and you can prophesy. That doesn't mean you're going to fall down and roll around and that doesn't mean, again, you're going to speak in an unknown tongue. That means, again, you're just going to stand and say, thus saith the Lord. And listen, he wrote it down so we could say that. And so that's what this prophecy is here of his mother. And so his mother gave him some thus saith the Lord's, not necessarily written down, but again, things she'd learned from her Lord. The prophecies that his mother taught him. And so there's an emphasis on things that your mother should have taught you and our mothers should be teaching. Verse 2 says, what, my son? And so we're talking again as a mom talking to a son. Then it says, what, the son of my womb? You've heard it said, maybe not, but I have heard it said that a mom saying to her child, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. maybe you hadn't heard that. But anyway, notice again what this is saying here. This is the prophecy that mom is given. Says, I brought you into this world. You came from me. And the miracle of it all. So the first, what, my son, might be just a son that she had perhaps by adoption or by the neighbor's kid coming over, and she could speak to that son. The prophecy. This is the son of my womb. You are my flesh and blood. And then look at the last, what, my son. It says, what, the son of my vows. If you search through your Bible, you don't find marriage per se. You find they don't have marriage vows. They don't exchange them. I'm putting together some marriage vows. Now, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, again, those vows, again, you can't turn to the Bible and back in Ecclesiastes someplace, find the marriage vows. And so, again, what's referred to here is vows made for God. Certainly is talking about marriage vows. The idea, again, that we take vows till death do us part, because that's biblical. That's what God intended for marriage. And so here, notice again, when I was a kid, we used to sing the song, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Eddie pushing the baby carriage, okay? And so that's got things in the right order again, is that marriage needs to be in there. Let me go ahead and say that again. Marriage needs to be part of this recipe. Look at his first warning given in verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women. Is that plural in your Bible? It's plural in my Bible. And let me go ahead and give you another twist on that. It's okay to give your strength to a woman. You with me on this? But not to women, plural. God's intent is that there be one man, one woman for one lifetime, and from our youth up, again, we ought to be targeting that as God's goal in our life, and that's what brings happiness. And so our first W that we want to deal with here is the vice of guys getting tangled up in the wrong woman, the wrong women here, plural. Give not thy strength unto women, and then it says, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And again, that's the W here in our little recipe for the vices, wine, women, and weed. Again, the three W's. The women, again, is the downfall of many men. If you read Proverbs chapter 7, again, written by Solomon, back at the beginning. In fact, let's go ahead and look at that. He gives some stern warning here down this same vein to understand that women, plural, can be the death, the destruction of man. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6 says, "For from at the window of my house I look through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot." Is that what your Bible says? The attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. Jump to the last two verses. "And she hath cast, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." And so you see the seduction and destruction there of a young man who gets tangled up in sin of sexual problems, sin of sexual advances there, or of getting tangled in women. And so that's the W that we're dealing with here. I said of these five vices that, again, the military promoted these as a pacifier for guys in Vietnam and for life again. And so I'm probably more familiar with them. That's when I categorized some of these things and said, but now our whole government is pursuing after them. Our government, again, is legalizing, promoting, and taxing every one of these as best it can. And so just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. And we always got to emphasize that here in this era that we live in. And so notice here again, goes with the weed as well. Just because it's legal does not mean it's right. And so notice here again the women. Let's go ahead and look back at that word again. That's why I'm having trouble here. I had my notes on the wrong page. So the ways that you're going to give to, again, and so we looked at, again, the vices a little bit. Women and wine, we're going to pull out of Proverbs 31 here today. Fornication, it's got a definition. And I gave it here before, and I want to emphasize it again so that we remember. Fornication, I had a whole section written here about the city of Dresden wrote about way back, right after I got here, wrote that I would give them an opinion about sexual purity. The village of Dresden did that. And they were putting together some precept about why they didn't want to have an X-rated video place up here where the Dresden Diner is again. And so they asked us to go ahead and contribute. And I did. I went down and I gave them a whole report and a speech and talked to them and put a good defense of that. And I had that written up here, but I've lost it. I'll dig that out. You'll see it again probably before the month expires. But again, to understand that word fornication, what does that mean? Fornication. And listen, remember this. It means that something that's foreign. A sexual use that's foreign to what God wants. And again, that used to cover it very well, every kind of sexual deviation. Now our society has gone deeper into sexual perversion than any other society I've ever seen. To where, again, they say it doesn't make any difference, men or women, we're all the same thing, and you can choose what you want to be. Idiots, can't understand a little bit of physical, and again, that's what a reprobate mind does. That's what, again, our society, that's what our White House is doing and promoting right now. Our White House, for crying out loud, is passing laws. I see out in Oregon, I think it was, they passed a law that men could not compete in women's races or events. And they had to pass a law that said that. Because our society is sick and twisted and perverted on this area of fornication. Anything that's foreign to God's plan fits under the category of fornication. And so that's kind of the umbrella. Adultery, it fits there again under that fornication label. And let me go ahead and say the word I won't give it to you in Hebrew. It's only used a couple times. Normally, again, in the Hebrew Bible, normally they use the word harlot. Again, that's the first use, again, of that term. The Hebrew word for fornication is a harlot, and it's referred to a woman that, again, is loose in her ways or sells her body and throughout. And then the whore. And boy, the Old Testament goes on and on about that, accusing Israel of whoredom. And it's got very picturesque things. So many descriptions, again, in the book of Isaiah. Some of them I'm nervous about reading in mixed company. And so again, the sin there that's involved in that is explained in great detail in the Word of God. And here in Proverbs itself, that's Proverbs chapter 7, you could read down through that in two different ways. One is for sexual perversion and physical sin, and the other is spiritual perversion and pursuing after spiritual whoredom. And so again, as we look at that, again, understand the Bible is very clear about this term fornication. And so let's look at a couple verses here that will help us with that. The very first use of the word fornication, I said it's normally translated in English as harlot. Even it was, as remember, the sons of Jacob accused one of the men in the town there of being treating their sister as a harlot again. And so that was the very first use of that word. Over here in 2 Chronicles, I thought this was curious, in my Bible study, 2 Chronicles chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. If you turn there, mark this verse in your Bible, would be worthwhile. We got 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles. Think about when 2 Chronicles was written. It's written by Ezra. And it was written again after all of the Old Testament was done and complete, and they were in the Babylonian captivity. And Ezra came out of the Babylonian captivity, and Nehemiah and Ezra took a pen and wrote down the chronologies of everything that led up to that. And so here's the first use of this word fornication, 2 Chronicles chapter 21. And verse 11 in your Bible, it says, "Moreover, he," this is the Edomites, "moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication." There it is. You underline, circle that word and understand its first use here. And compelled Judah thereto. And listen, this was a sin that made God angry. And there's two aspects of this. One was they worshipped other gods, and that was called fornication. That's a spiritual fornication. But they also, again, got tangled in the worship of that with sexual involvement in the priests, again, that were women there in that religion. Again, that was a sexual sin. And notice, again, that they were more or less coerced into it. And they caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication. And so you see that all through the Bible. And notice again that although it's a natural tendency, again, there is also a push by Satan, by this world, to tangle us up in there, in that sin. And so couple other verses, Matthew 15, 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 15. Now in the New Testament, there's another word for this, and every time it shows up in your New Testament, it is translated from the Greek into the word fornication. Matthew chapter 15, and look with me at this description given by Christ. The same description pretty much is given in Mark chapter 7. A ghost just closed our door again, so if you'd open that up, it did feel pretty good. Harry, could you go open that and maybe set a sand bucket in front of it there? Unless anyone's cold. Is anyone cold? No, we're... Praise the Lord, the furnace seems to be working. Where was I? Matthew chapter 15, look with me at verse 19. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. The Bible says, "For out of the heart," this is Jesus speaking, "out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And so those are things, Jesus is saying, that are inside of us. I said we could get the same thing in Mark. Let's look over in Mark chapter 7. It's got a longer list and includes a word called lasciviousness. Again, which is not just lust, it is strong lust. And so Mark chapter 7 verses 21 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceedeth." Okay, here's a list of things that comes out of our natural being and our natural man. Well, I just do what comes natural to me. If you just do what comes natural to you, you're stuck in sin again, because sin is in our old nature, and we need to be living in a new nature. For from within, out of the heart of men proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And so again, notice that our eye can be evil in this sin of fornication as well. And so when we look again at the warning given here by Samuel, it bears much weight to the fact, again, that we need to be careful in this sin. Now, the Greek word that I mentioned there is used for fornication every time it shows up is porneia. Porneia. That's the Greek word. And you can imagine where that trails into our society today. It used to be, again, back when I wrote that letter and then went down and talked to the mayor here in Dresden, they were doing everything they could to keep an X-rated building or business established here out of Dresden. And so they put together all that stuff and again and just said nope. And they wrote an ordinance that said they'll allow no X-rated things in Dresden to be established here inside of our business district. That again is pornography. And back then, again, there was a house that you went to, now you don't have to. Now it's right here. Now it's available to anybody. Anybody that has an internet connection can just discuss themselves for hours on end in pornography. And boy, it's a plague on our society. It's a plague on our men. It's a plague on the minds of man. Again, and it drags our minds into a gutter and it leaves them there. Bible says that we're to be known Christians as a renewing of our mind in Christ Jesus. And listen, every time we put that pornography in front of us, there's a renewing of our mind, all right, but it's not in Christ Jesus. It's in the carnal flesh and lusts of this world. And again, that has dragged down our society so much that we're at where we're at, even where our government is condoning and advancing a sodomite, vile direction for our whole country. Here, notice again, the Bible warns us about this vice. And the thing about a vice is, all vices have a carnal gateway. You heard of gateway drugs before? Listen, all vices have a carnal gateway. It's carnal because it feeds the flesh. It's our old nature. It's what we like and we desire it and we pursue it. It's a gateway because it starts with just a little bit. And you've heard the phrase, I can quit anytime I want. It gives us a taste. And then we have to have more and more and more. And it's a gateway drug, as it were. It's a gateway pornography. It's a gateway of thinking. It's a gateway that's twisted from what a Christian needs to be with a renewed mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts out slow. Someone said it starts out innocently, but I scratch that out. It don't start out innocently. It starts out vilely. It's just that we've come to recognize, well, it ain't that bad. And so when you got a sin in your life and you're saying it ain't that bad, put it down. Listen, it is that bad. There's no worse sin and lesser sin in God's eyes. All sin breaks off our fellowship with Him. And when we're dabbling in the sin, when we're looking at sin, when we're absorbing sin, when we're focused on sin, again, there's a broken fellowship between us and our Savior. And that's what vices are, and that's what they can do. Again, that word, pornia. We already read Proverbs chapter 7 and saw again that just a little bit of enticement brought that young lad, that simple one, into a place where his soul was destroyed because, again, of that little bit of enticement that just got bigger and bigger and bigger and went on and on and on. Listen, that happens with weed. That happens with going out behind the barn and sucking on your first cigarette. Again, doing that and saying, oh, that wasn't so bad. Yeah, it was bad. It was horrible. Why would the same person do something like that? It's because that's that nature, that carnal nature, that desire, that pull on us to have our own way, to do our own thing, and to never mind what God says about it. And so just be conscious of these vices. Again, they're all carnal gateways. They are all feed our carnal nature. And us old folks, again, can't say, well, yeah, but I've got victory over that. Listen, any one of these, again, can get hooked into our lives. Reformers Unanimous, again, has a testimony time where they go through even old people, even old Christians. Some of you, again, I can mention a name around here, and you'd quickly remember a preacher that preached here and gave me, again, a lot of those Reformer Unanimous and the five R's of Reformation. And I outwound them all under this great preacher who come free of drugs. But we know, again, that it didn't take very long. He was right back in drugs. And he was in a drug house up in Buffalo for years. Lost his family, lost his ministry, lost everything he had. Again, was living on a street as a derelict. Don't pretend that these things have no play on us because we're old Christians and we got our ways set. Understand that any one of us can be fallen into one of these vices if we let it take over our mind. If we, again, give into it as a gateway drug. And so, notice again there, the women that again can draw away from that whole section that we read ends with this: who can find a virtuous woman? And that's kind of the theme of that whole chapter. Again, is to get your life straight, get things set on a right order, and then find yourself a virtuous woman, and find yourself a wife, and marry, and again have a home that's modeled there in that description. And I just wrote, again, a taste of paradise. I just wrote a whole chapter in my one of my theology books about what heaven's going to be like, or more our eternal state. I don't know if any of you got that or read any of that, but I had such a time writing that to, again, just look at things that we hadn't really looked at in great detail. But your home can be a taste of heaven, a taste of paradise here on this earth. And that's what God intends. If we follow His instructions, that we have a taste of heaven here on this earth, in the union of man and woman, in the intimacy that we have, in the love, in the significance, in the relationship that we have in the home, is meant to, again, mirror what Christ has for us for all of eternity. And so again, that can be a taste of heaven. But listen, unfortunately, in too many homes, it can be a taste of something else. And so again, understand that our homes are meant to be a taste of this, and that comes from this line: give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. I don't need to spend a lot of time, I probably already have here on several occasions, spend a lot of time about this next subject that King Lemuel brings. And look at verse 4, it says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink." And listen, if you're here today and you're a born-again Christian, you, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 that you are a king. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, again, that we are kings and priests before God. And so here, this tribute to kings, say, well, I'm out of that. No, you're not. If you're a born-again Christian, listen, and let me go ahead and say this too, that these vices, they're sins for Christians. I don't know if they're sins for Joe Blow down the street who's living in the gutter. Listen, it might not be a sin for them because their body's not the temple of God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 21-22 says, my body is a temple of God, and I belong to Him. And me being locked in Satan's vice here, being tangled in one of these vices, I need to be set free. Else I am in bondage and in sin. And every time I'm in sin, that fellowship that I have with my Savior is broken. Now, our salvation's not broken, but our fellowship, our walk with Him, our prayer life with Him, our relationship with Him is broken. And so again, get free of these vices and understand how important it is to be free and set free. And here we want to talk for a minute about this wine. Let's go ahead and look. I'm sure you got these underlined in your Bibles. If not, then I've kind of messed up over the past 25 years. But Proverbs chapter 20 says this. I don't know if Matt remembers. It's good to have Matt here, praise the Lord. Matt remembers this. When we used to drive up to Seneca Falls, it was you and Jeffrey and me, and we'd commute up to Seneca Falls to go to the Christian school up there. And every time we passed a beer truck or a Pepsi truck or any truck that looked like it might be carrying beverages, we were reduced down to, I like these verses so much. We would recite these verses out loud in the car. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Well, Jesus made wine. Listen, Jesus wrote that verse right there. And so again, if you find a preacher that says Jesus made wine, and we can go ahead and have a beer together with my deacons, and it's good fellowship. Listen, he's missing entirely what Jesus said and what it means to make wine. My wife made wine all this summer, and we called it grape jelly, and it's the same thing. When you make grape jelly, you are making wine. Anything you make when you take the fruit of the vine, the grapes, and you make them into something, it's called wine. And when Jesus made wine, you can put it down that he said, look not on wine when it's red and moveth about and giveth its color in a cup. You can be sure that Jesus did not make a wine that was red and moveth about in the cup. And so again, a lot of Christians are taken off of this. I want to dig out a copy of our Constitution and read what it said about wine or selling wine or drinking wine. In our Constitution, we have our church covenant. We have a covenant where we covenant together to watch out for each other at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And this address of taking wine or selling wine is brought out in that church covenant. So wine is a mocker. Turn over a page to chapter 23, and Solomon here gives another whole dissertation. Starting in chapter 23, in verse 29, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth as an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. We're mixing two of the W's up in that verse. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, though thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, idiot, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast, moron, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I left it or felt it not. When shall I awake? Look what happens when you wake up out of that stupor. Look what happens again the next day. I will seek it yet again. And so again, that wine, women, and weed dissertation that we're looking at here again is things that are get a grip on our life. They're addictive, and they either destroy our life to where there's no repair. And you can be forgiven of all sin, but again, sometimes God cannot put the consequences of your sin away. Think of David and his sin with Bathsheba. And God said to him, you're going to pay fivefold. And sure enough, he did. You count his baby that died, and his sons, and his daughter that got raped, Tamar, and his son that killed the rapist, and another one of his sons, and then Absalom again that rose up again to overthrow again. He paid five times for that. And so again, consequences of our sins, young people, listen, consequences of our sins, sometimes we never get over them. Sometimes we drag them with us through life. Boy, again, give the same warning that God give here. Be careful of that. Understand that being locked in this vice of Satan can have an effect on our life that, again, we don't get over. We can be forgiven. We can be victorious. We can be overcomers. But again, there are consequences to some of these sins, again, that just get a grip and a hold on our life that never goes away. I didn't mention syphilis, gonorrhea, or AIDS, or any of the other sins, again, that bring on just a destruction of our body. And sure, our society teaches, don't worry about it, we got a pill for that. But listen, God says, again, it causes things in our lives that's irreparable, always forgivable, but certainly irreparable. And so here, notice what Solomon says in this section. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Are you ready to perish? Listen, we're supposed to be about the business of rescue the perishing. That's our business. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, because now we're going to be ministers of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5. That's what we're called to be. Ministers of reconciliation. But here, this is for those that are perishing. Give wine unto those that have heavy hearts and they want to forget life. Listen, that dare not be a Christian. There dare not be you. That you need to drown your life in booze. Again, understand that God has a standard for us to live by, to walk by, so that we could fulfill His purposes and not be bound up in Satan's vices. We'll look at some more of them again as we continue on in this series. But as we do, boy, again, let's memorize that song that we had in our little song sheet. And let's go ahead and stand and we'll sing it. In conclusion, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you that we could meet this morning. Thank you again for your word. Thank you again, Father, that we could live holy. And that we could again be perfect, as your word says. And have a maturity about us, even concerning these vices. I pray that you'd help us. And empower us and enable us and give us knowledge and wisdom in these areas, even as we'd walk through. I pray that you'd be with moms here and grandmoms here that, again, have already lived a rich life. And, Father, need to teach us to their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And, Father, again, that they could be teachers, even as King Lemuel's mom was a teacher. And we'll praise you and thank you for your blessing. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound. Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound. Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound. Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Lord bless you for worshiping today. You're dismissed.